Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky look to expose a fraudulent wine in the suspiciously overrated Cellier des Dauphins Reserve Côte de Rhône from France. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here, folks. Thanks for joining us.
I'm also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
Bo is here tonight.
Yeah,
Bo. Doing his best to be annoying.
He wishes that he was like 10 pounds and could still climb up in our laps.
Yes.
Well, he did climb up on my lap when he greeted me on my way out of my vehicle.
Good.
To Shea Dern. If he's outside, he does. And he's happy, but not out of control.
I found a well-defined paw print on my car. No scratches, just a paw print. And
where?
It wasn't a cat paw print.
Where?
On the hood. He didn't stand on it, but like right on the front.
Just like one.
Do you think
one.
He was chasing Sally?
I think he was chasing his own death is what he was doing.
I think
like,
can
I catch death? Oh, let me find out.
I just want to say hi to my dad.
What?
Let him know that I care.
Yes, yes. That's where you might find the front of that car if you put your paw on it again. Mm-hmm. Oh, every morning, if he's outside, I have to race him to get out the lane.
It upsets you so much.
Well, I don't. He'll run in front of the car. He's that stupid.
You never know.
I don't. Well, I do know. He will. Well, anyway. Mm-hmm. Forgetting about all that. On tonight's show, you heard in the opening that we have a suspicious wine. I am suspicious of this wine for many, many reasons, mostly because I think it's bullshit. But
you're just suspicious nature.
Suspicious?
That's exactly
mind.
Suspicious
right.
I am.
Nature.
And it's a wine from France. Let's start off with that. From a region that we hold in strong esteem.
Yeah, the wine guy and the unlicensed taxi driver love Rhone.
Triple B. Maybe not. But that's okay.
I know.
Are you more open to Rhone?
No. I don't know why Rob chose this wine.
Well. Because of the reason why we're going to discuss after the break. But this wine, though, I think is suspicious.
Actually, I know why you chose it.
Okay. Well, it's Cellier des Dauphins. Their Reserve Côte de Rhône. If you've perused any, wine sites like wine.com, inevitably, you've come across this. Maybe you even received an email like I did twice.
From Greg.
Greg. Yes. And it's currently out of stock, by the way. Hey, did you miss this wine? This wine is special. I'm Greg. Ting. You know, like a little shine in his teeth. It's not like it's Jeff. Can I help you find a great wine?
No.
Not today, you didn't. But this wine, normally, if it's France and it's Côte de Rhône and it's, and it has a fancy bottle, we are, snooty types that think a lot of ourselves. Normally, we're into that.
It has the crest imprinted on the bottle.
It does.
It's very fancy.
I know.
I think it's marketed for us Americans.
I think it is, too, because, first of all.
Especially with that sticker on the front.
What has a sticker? But it also has Grenache Syrah on the label, which not something that a true blue Côte de Rhône would have. It wouldn't. Louis Bernard, does it say Grenache Syrah on the front of the label?
No.
Let's see here. Jigal, does it do that? No, no. Hell, Michael Chapoutier, does his do that? No.
No,
no. So I bet even if... let's see. What's that one BG, the BG brand, whatever the fuck that shit is? I bet they don't.
Bellevue?
No, not Bellevue. No, what is that? BG. It's BG. It's like BO. It's not very good. You've been in the stores, folks. You've seen their Vouvray. Well, they also have.
Nobody's seen Vouvray but you.
Well,
nobody
no.
looks for.
Friend of mine, our friend Nate.
Nate.
He likes the BG Vouvray.
The
Barton Gust something.
Barton Gust.
Baton Gustier.
Baton and Gessier.
They are the Bola of French wine. Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. They even have Louis Jadot is not, because he has premium wines.
Okay.
You can get Louis Jadot at $300 for some of their Burgundies, and their Bourgogne is very good. But why are we even talking about that anyway?
Well, because we like to talk about French wines.
I think this wine is a little bit like that, because this is it has kind of an extensive line, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But when we come back, we're going to dive deep into this wine. We're going to make fun of it.
Well, let's drink it before we make fun of it.
And we might even make fun of you, the listener, here on The Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the Cité des Dauphins Reserve Côte du Rhône from France. Now, I alluded to some things I'm going to comment on. The first thing is this wine does have a couple reviews. And the reviews really are what have, you know, brought it to our attention, let's just say. So the first review I'm going to talk about. No, Jeff, I don't need to know about a great wine. The first one is from the Decanter. Mm. The Decanter. it's a little more than that. Bought and paid for it, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. They provided this wine 97. All 97 of their points. They ran out of all of their points. I mean, they have no more points. Their points are all gone. And they wrote.
Do you think it's a typo that, like, their keyboard didn't work right and they didn't have an 8 or a 6 or a 4?
Was supposed to be a 7. 7? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they said, "This is delicious!" Exclamation point. Because that's normally how you write things.
This is yummy.
Yes. Yum, yum. Give me some. Very classy and appealing aromas of flowers. Garrigue. Spice and forest floor.
Why did you laugh about Garrigue?
Because I didn't know if I could pronounce it correctly.
You don't believe that a $12 wine can have aromas of Garrigue?
No, I don't. On the palate, sweet vanilla oak marries into the charming svelte herbal red blue fruit mix.
Okay.
It's full of flavor, super supple, super drinkable, and authentic. What? Why wouldn't it be authentic?
Well, so for me, when I read authentic, I think authentic to the style, authentic to the varietal.
Well, yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying.
All right. Bouquet, taste, finish are all magnificent.
It doesn't really read like a 97.
No. Because I'm going to give you now the other counterpoint to that. So you said that a canner reviewed it. Who else could have reviewed it to really give it that extra something? No, don't look at me. I did not review it.
James?
No, it was not
James, me. This is Tim Atkins. Did you review this wine without telling me?
I am busy in Chile. I have no time for this French charlatan, this French tart of a wine. No. However, I do like the decanter. I've had some many lovely nights with them. All of them at the same time. I'm not going to talk about that. Becky sent me an email. Becky is a member of this site. She even has a screen name for her membership.
Rob has signed me up twice.
She is called on this website Wine Lover. That's fantastic. Her username is Wine Lover, and it is the Wine Enthusiast. That's right, the Wine Enthusiast.
Oh.
I got an email from them today because Rob tried to sign me up again.
No. I was trying to read this review and its pop-up came up demanding some email. And the first email on this computer was yours. So there you go.
And it said, click here to report abuse.
You know,
not by
be,
me.
It'd probably be more successful if you like reported your abuse to family services, the it police,
is, it is psychological,
the Department
abuse.
Of Justice.
They said it was a funny email. It said, "We received a request to sign you up. You previously removed yourself from our email, so we just want to make sure you really do want to receive
those." The answer is fantastic.
The answer is no. Can we print that off? Put that on the wall.
And then there's like fantastic. You click on the "it was a me" sign up. It wasn't me. Report abuse. That's how it was worded.
Well, they
so
per-
self-deprecating.
You know they've had that problem before.
I know.
Yes. Even 19 Crimes doesn't have that option when you sign somebody up. But anyway, they didn't have 97 points available, so they gave it 89 of their points. Just a few points less. Eight points. And what's the 8 points, you know? Anyway, they wrote a blend of 60% Grenache and 40% Syrah because they read the label and found that out.
Yeah, they're pretty smart.
This plump, perfumed red entices with aromas of pristine blackberry exuded by fresh beetroot and herb. It's densely fruity and voluminous in mouthfeel, but lifted by a touch of minerality. Best now through 2024.
So not only is there disparity in the points, yes, there's a distinct disparity in the reviews.
Don't you smell the Greek?
Interesting. So the product description by the winery reads, "Grown on sunny slopes and harvested at the peak of ripeness, Syrah and Grenache grapes give the wine its deep ruby color." First description of how it looks like. "Extraordinary care during extraction.
Extraordinary.
Accounts for its unctuous quality and rich mix of sun-baked black fruits." Love that description. Mm-hmm. "Astute élevage, aging, fining, filtering, and blending," i.e. the winemaking process, "yields a round wine," again, goes to the mouthfeel, "with soft, ripe tannins and long finishes." You know, for a winery to describe it that way, they're not using these incredibly colorful descriptive terms, but they talk about the way they make the wine and that it's a round wine, soft, ripe tannins, and a long finish. That's all I want to hear.
Well, on the decanter, by the way.
Yes.
They have an article that says "Discover Cellier de Dauphine Reserve." They have an article about that, and it's called a promotional feature.
What?
That's right.
Promotional feature.
The winery paid to have an article written by decanter staff. I know all of them. They're magnificent. So they wrote a whole article about this winery, this label. And then suddenly they had a 97. Isn't that shocking?
I'm shocked.
That's just crazy. And they basically restated what you just read. Yes, Decanter awarded Reserve Red 97 points in a platinum medal. It's not silver, it's platinum.
Oh.
With the following tasting notes. Well, we already read it.
Yeah, they did receive a platinum
97. Mm-hmm. And you can find out more about this on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
You know what's awesome about that? No one from the Decanter put their name on it. Decanter's staff.
That is an excellent, excellent point.
Janitorial staff is what it is.
That is a great point.
Well, these were grapes harvested from select vineyards around the villages of something. So there were five different villages. But that's what we've talked about. We've talked about in length how Côte du Rhône differs from Côte du Rhône village and whatnot. So the Côte du Rhône base can be a blend from different communes.
And this is probably about half of them, maybe. I don't know.
Well, there's a lot more than that. But then they have a village level and a bunch of other stuff. But this is the only thing that's available on wine.com. So I'm presuming they don't have the export market on those yet.
I'm going to stick that this is bottled for marketing in the United States of America.
And it's $13.99 of your money.
Wine Library, $10.99.
Really?
$10.99.
That's Gary Vaynerchuk, right?
That's Gary V.
Yeah. But you also would get the library shipping for $10,000.
They don't have a wine steward program like wine.com.
No, he does not tell me how to find a great wine. He tells me how to find on their Cinderella wine a wine that's very old that they can't get rid of that sucks.
I was talking about the shipping prices.
It's like, Gary, I look at that every day just out of amusement. You offered that 3 weeks ago, and you still haven't sold it. No, I don't want CV Merlot from 1912. I don't want that. No, I'm not going to spend $75 on your CV 1912 Merlot. I'm not going to do that. It's dust in a bottle. Please don't sell it. That's time. That's time. That's time in a bottle.
The last thing that I'd want to do is to pay $75 for Gary V's dusty old wine. I've got nothing more to do.
I just threw Steve's hat.
Very well done.
Yes, that was actually better
but
than normal.
But there never seems to be enough time to drink Gary V's bad wines.
Forever. He'll put old reviews on his website from 16 years ago and still try to sell on them.
What was this scandal about him?
Don't talk about that on the show.
I don't recall the Gary V scandal.
No, the Jim Croce scandal.
Jim Croce scandal? I don't know. It wouldn't have been very exciting.
Time in prison?
Did he?
Manslaughter?
That's not a scandal. When you kill someone, that's not called a scandal.
Listen, this was the 70s, so that was a scandal.
Expose. They call the trial the expose.
I don't know what the Jim Croce scandal was.
I was thinking there was something that, like, he was actually
an owl.
No.
No. A refrigerator. Because that would have been provocative and unusual.
Maybe I'm thinking of someone
else. Oh, no, he died in a plane crash when he was 30 years old.
Well, then not much could have happened.
Yeah.
Well, just think of all the songs he would have had for us after.
Had something bad happen to it. Like he did crack. Something bad. But evidently that is not the case. Mm-hmm. Must be someone else.
Could be.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Steve Bodie. Mm. Often those two are confused.
It must be.
So, Steve Bodie, ironically, a big Jim Croce fan.
Yeah?
I don't know.
You totally made that up. Allegedly.
Might as well be. Could be.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being a Jim Croce fan.
There's something wrong with being a Steve Bodie fan. That's okay. There aren't any. Except for Steve Bodie.
Except for us. No. We're kind of fans.
Now, once again, the Prince of Pino and Tessa have their pictures there, so they're very well represented in the new improved one.
Other than the fact that the Tessa picture is a little crooked in that frame.
There's a little smudge. I think it's where Rob didn't get the price tag off all the way.
Yeah, it's loving care.
Well, I'm not saying a smudge. I'm saying that photograph does not line up perfectly in that frame. In case you were wondering,
that's just a print picture. I just printed it. I printed it from the internet.
Black and white.
That's just paper. It's not the picture.
That's your favorite thing to do is to print stuff off the internet like that.
And then frame them.
Yeah.
Yes.
You
look at my art. So,
but you like to normally do some Photoshop
if
work on
Rob
it.
Has time on his hands, yeah. The first thing that he
you would
like
never know Rob has
do.
A successful career by the shit that he brings home that he does.
Or I did that running line of text.
I did that at home.
Oh my god, I know.
Recently, we were sharing text, and Becky shared with us that she actually has a job she has to pay attention to, and would we please leave her alone?
That was your fault.
I look at my phone. I have.
Well, she was talking
text
to you. She wasn't talking to me. She was talking to you, sir.
She's talking to you. So let's go into this. Let's get into the wine.
What?
The City
Is there a wine? Are you sure? It seems like we're putting it off.
We are. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
In all transparency, I had a bottle of this wine with my lovely bride earlier this week.
Mm.
We were talking about 96 and 97 point French wines on wine.com, and I think on the same day we bought the same bottle of wine. For the show. And
mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Robert had one, so I took it home.
That's right.
We had it this week. Going to withdraw comments on what we thought about the wine.
You won't remember how it tasted anyway, so well, what's the difference? I'm surprised you remember what you drank this week.
We decanted it.
Good for you. This has been decanting for an hour and 20 minutes.
These are the...
An hour and 30 minutes,
New
actually.
World...
Old World Syrah glasses.
Old World Syrah glasses.
If you were looking for a way to bottle up like a dark fruit smell, if you're teaching someone about wine, this is like...
Dark, classic dark fruit smell. It's really got a nice nose. It's a strong nose. It's not subtle. It's right. not fantastic, but it's a really, these aromas are there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somewhat perfumey as well. I'm not going to call it, I'm not going to say pretty flowers or violets because it's too Saks Fifth Avenue kind of, it's perfume.
It's perfumey.
Yes.
There is a little earthiness in the background too. We don't know.
I just got a whiff of vanilla as well.
Yeah, there's vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla, for sure.
But do either of you get the earthiness back there?
If I pretend, would you like me to lie to you? Yes.
No, I think would I would lie maybe... to you? I think I could maybe get like a dirt. Is that what you mean?
Well, something.
Yeah. Smells like dirt.
Well, I was like thinking moss or something, but I think it's just dirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
I mean... Yeah.
This is a...
Slight mossy kind of...
Big a nose as we've had on the show in a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's the greatest nose. I think you nailed it right off the top. The dark fruit, this is classic. If you wanted to have a little sampler to teach people what different things in wine are, this would be dark fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
Not impressive. Just big.
I'm going to go in.
So, for what it's worth, this bottle has a little more tartaric acid crystals than the bottle we had. Excuse me.
That finish is about an hour long.
It is. It has an extremely long finish.
So.
Still going, by the way.
We've tasted this. And I'm going to say, by the way.
Still going.
This thing is not a 97. But the combination of the reviews are very accurate.
It's actually quite good.
Actuary.
Let me say this. It tastes like a cross between Quasi Cote de Rhone and a Washington Red, because it's jazzy, which I don't care.
Throw in some kind of Spanish blend too. I think you could go Spanish blend too. Ooh,
and it, by the way, folks, now there's a slight bit of a little bit of warmth with spice that just kicked in, and because the finish is still this long, it's the longest finish we've had in a long time. Mm-hmm. It just stays and radiates.
There's a bit of like chalkiness in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's from the tannin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably limestone soils.
Mm-hmm. It said something on the back of the bottle. Oh, it just said that their wine growers are the guardians of the terroir. I thought it said something else about the terroir.
This actually is really surprising because it's quite tannic.
And so for that reason, I'm going to go back to my little Spanish tribute. This has some Spain in it, in that you would expect a French to be a little softer.
I wouldn't expect it to be this tannic. I would probably get tricked into thinking it was Tempranillo.
Exactly.
I don't know that I would even get to Europe because it's so big. I really don't. Maybe if you all were talking about a Tempranillo, I could get there. That was going to be my next question. How could we?
Oh, you totally don't get this as French. Yeah. There's no.
The reason why you say
you get this as French.
How would you?
French. That's a different story. Yeah, because it doesn't have a similar minerality structure to stuff from Languedoc or Rhone. I would think it was Spanish.
Yeah, or as you said, a nice jazzy little Washington Red.
But the reason, I take that. I'm backing that off because of how mineral focused the mid palate goes into this big tannin structure. The reason why I kind of thought Tempranillo, then I realized why, is because it's 60% Grenache, and Grenache and Tempranillo are often paired together in Spain. It tastes like a Spanish wine though, but it tastes like a Spanish wine similar to. Well, Yeah. Tastes like a Spanish wine.
Let's break this down. Let's be specific in the details. So, the fruit.
Something I will say real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That I, and now I'm like, I'm wondering if I could somewhere get to Europe because of the chalkiness. That really stands out to me, and you don't find that often in the U.S.
No, you really don't.
And so I think that, I think I would be extremely confused on a blind.
Yeah.
But I'm now I'm like, I wonder if I would get to somewhere European, and I don't think I would ever think Italy.
No.
I think
so. No. I think I would. I would. I don't know where I would go, but that chalkiness is just so different and distinctive in the wine that I think it would. I hope it would give me pause.
I think somebody that's better at that game than us would pull a Grenache out of this, though. Mm.
You know, and as I drink more, it depends on when I'm going to give my opinion. My first taste was like, oh, it kind of tastes like a Tempranillo. The more you drink of it, the more I probably wouldn't go Cote de Rhone. I wouldn't do that. But I would say somewhere near the Med, because the Mediterranean, which obviously some Spanish wines are like that. But a lot of the French, Languedoc and stuff like that on the Med coast, a very good version of that, has a little bit of that, because it has a little bit of vibrance and freshness.
The jazziness you're talking about.
Well, the jazziness comes more from the oak, and it settles down. Then you kind of filter that out as you continue to drink it, and you focus more in on the minerality into the tannin on the finish. For me, anyway, the jazziness was the first sip, and the first sip is the one where you're kind of introduced to the wine, and you're kind of trying to figure out what you're feeling and sensing, and after that you zero in on the things that are really important. I don't feel it's as jazzy now that I have drank it 2-3 times. But I still would think, if I was blind tasting it, I would say it was, if I were to guess, a Spanish Tempranillo or something like that. Partly because of the little twinkle of, it has like a dried cherry.
Yeah.
And normally I associate that with Tempranillo, and Grenaches tend to be a little bit rounder.
Okay.
You know,
so berry fruit,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
blueberry. Then it there's right away goes berry, but then savory, mm-hmm. And then that dried cherry comes in. Almost, it's so long. It's like this almost has like 5 parts. It's not a front, mid, and finish. The dried cherry is like late in the game. It's like with the minerality, the dried cherry comes in maybe.
Yeah. Right when it pops in. I've just not experienced a Grenache or Syrah or anything that is this tannic and drying. It's astringent and tannic and drying.
Very dry.
And extremely. I've not come across that. I'm sure there are umpteen wines that are like this. I've drank a lot of them, but I haven't seen that. As like this,
let's
unique.
Let's keep going with this. Do you get, describe the minerality, and where do you place it?
It's not red meat. It is a flinty slate,
uh-huh.
Maybe a slight bit of river rock, kind of,
yeah.
An earthy, foresty minerality, something like that. Slightly in the chalkiness, you got to play that off. I mean, the chalkiness is there. It's from the tannin, but limestone. You know, I assume it's limestone soils or some kind.
And it's kind of there together with that flintiness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a hint of not chocolate, but coffee there with that. It almost like coffee, almost like leather, almost like on the finish. Just well, as it starts to go dry.
Well, there is a leatherish. I mean, there is a bit of leather in the fact of how dry it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that minerality and that dryness kind of give you that sense of that. A little saddleback, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's surprising that a wine that is...
$13.
Well, that, but in a kind of a shameless line style type... Is this?
It's good.
Yeah.
It is good.
It's really good.
There's also, I don't think it's black olive. I think it's green olive in there.
Yeah. Good call.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where sometimes we might get like a grassiness. It's that green olive.
It's the transition in from that berry fruit into the mineralities right there. And that's, I think, a little bit my dried cherry also. I think there's a little bit of the green olive there. Mm-hmm.
The green olive is nice. Mm-hmm. I feel like if we were blind tasting this, I wonder where that would send us.
This thing could send you anywhere.
Yeah.
But
And Tempranillo always has that black olive. Yeah, so I don't know if that would convince me it was a Tempranillo. I don't know.
It could send you into South America, too.
Yeah. That's true. Well, the green olive particularly.
Well, yeah, if you thought it was vegetable. I mean, it isn't.
I don't think it's vegetable, though.
I feel the green olive, when I think and realize that it's green olive, that's the closest comparison to vegetable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would be difficult. This would be a very difficult blind tasting wine, I think. Mm-hmm. And if you tasted this and Bernard and a few other Cote de Rhones back to back, Parallel 45,
no Remigine, way would you think this is Cote de Rhone.
No.
If you did that.
No, you wouldn't. But that being said, different communes produce different things. I mean, I remember back in the day when we were doing a Domaine des Remigine. We can still find it, but they had the Genevrier, and they had the La Abruzière, and you can still buy the Abruzière. You can't buy the Genevrier anymore. And those two wines were completely different. Shakespeare and Phil and I were huge fans of the Genevrier. We drank the living daylights out of that wine. And the Abruzière, it was a little bit different in the fact that it had a bit of a vulcanized rubber, slightly. Like a Duarte kind of rubber bandy type quality, which is a little unusual. But the Genevrier was just pure gold. This is just a little bit, it's not an oddball. It's just a different version. But they're blending at, what, five different communes, right?
Five different villages. Mm-hmm. They knew what they were doing, putting this together the way they did. Mm-hmm. This is marketed for us. And you know what? Home run.
The other...
Goal! He put the biscuit in the basket. Gold record.
Did you say anything about... Did you read anything about oaking? But, like, the length?
They don't talk about that, I don't think, on their website. Hmm. But there was a mention in the reviews of it.
It's really skillfully oaked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is so subtly oaked, but it's funny. I think it's stronger on the nose with that vanilla.
Yeah.
It's oaked, but...
Something that I've noticed when we... Especially when we're reading about European wines. So when you're reading about an American wine, they're like, okay, it was 18 months, American oak, done. You read about like an Italian wine, a French wine, it's a lot more difficult to find that information.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like they all know that they're oaking it, but it's not like... I don't know. Like, it's almost like a hushed thing. Like, oh, yeah, it's done. But that's, like, not what the wine's about.
Mm-hmm.
But how many times have we drank an American wine and that's all that the wine is about?
The details are all there.
Yeah.
You know, in The Enthusiast, they said best now through 2024.
Hmm. Yeah.
I could see that. It's so big.
I see that. I do.
And, folks, we talk about this all the time. A little pseudo seller selection, something to put down for a little bit. $13, 13, 4 years.
This is a thing. Remember,
wouldn't you drink this now?
You know, Mercer Cabernet.
Okay.
We just had a bottle of that last night. It was a 16, got a 91 from the Spectator. We gave it 91. Loved it. And we talked about how big and possibly ageable it is.
And
last night it was showing a nuance of black olive. Which suggests it's showing maturity. And that's similar with this. Okay, yes, it seems so big, so big, so big, but in reality, it never was intended or designed for aging.
Right.
And when you introduce it to that, unusual things occur.
Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, and this was still very good, but when I tasted that slight... black olive, whatever you want to call it, balsamic note.
You're like, nah, baby, nah.
Oh, still good. But you know 6 yeah. months needs to be gone.
The only Drink way I can taste the oaking really is if you hold it in your mouth.
True.
You're not drawing air over it, just hold the wine in your mouth, then you can taste the oaking on it. That's the only.
Yeah, I think there is a little.
You see what I mean?
The longer this goes, I think there is a little vanilla shining through with the oak, just a little.
Well, what Becky was saying, yeah, it's you sit there, I mean, you hold it on your tongue. Yes, the vanilla does pop through, definitely. Actually, that's the way to drink it, because then it really pops. It's a really surprising wine. I can't decide how much I like it, but not in a scoring sense, just for me personally.
Oh.
This is a
you separate what do you mean? The two. I know that it's scores better than what I like. So I know that it's good. It's just not, is it my cup of tea good? I don't score it based upon my cup of tea.
I get that. But just, so. You're really not loving this thing?
No. I appreciate it for what it's doing.
Right.
But the flavors itself, I'm like, okay, would I buy it again? Probably not. But that has nothing to do with the quality of the wine. It's just more. It's just more of my
personal taste.
Preference.
Cray.
No, I don't have to. It doesn't have to be my favorite style. But I can appreciate everything that they've done here.
A Tuesday night bottle of wine that drinks this way. For $13, even once a month.
Nah.
Okay.
I mean, I like it, and I think it's a very good wine. Very, very, very well done, and I think that people should try it. I'm curious. I think I need to go back and do a few more Côte de Rhones, because we haven't had one in a few months now, and really get it some back to get some comparisons as to where they're at as to where this is.
We've been mainlining this stupid Côte de Rhone she's been getting from Grain & Grape, $9.99. It's table wine, though.
Mm.
It's not, you know, it's table wine, but it's Côte de Rhone. I mean, it's classic yeah. Côte de Rhone. This is better. It's different.
Oh, yeah.
It's different, but I like the fact that it's a little unusual.
Well, I don't know that it's unusual. I just think that we haven't tasted things that taste like this that very often. God. No. There's, well, one thing I will say that is unusual, having had it several times. The Parallel 45 is unusual. Domaine de Solitude is unusual. I've had Beaucastel's Côte de Rhone. It's slightly unusual. And those are really good. Beaucastel's, those are $25, $30. Côte de Rhone.
Okay.
And so what this is kind of, it's taking the term Côte de Rhone, just the basic Côte de Rhone, and turning it on its ear a little bit, and the fact that this is more of a premium tasting wine. It's emulating things that taste, that run in the 20s. Your top level single vineyard or single commune, whatever you want to call it, Côte de Rhone Villages, taste a little bit more interesting like this does, but this isn't made. It's made in a fashion to get to that. I don't know. So I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
Well,
they add witch's brew to it. I'm not sure.
They know what they're doing. They're picking certain grape stock to get this overly fruity Côte de Rhone style.
I honestly don't think that it's
It's not overly the fruity, fruit, but for Côte de Rhone, this is overly fruity.
The fruit is not the main focal point of this wine.
It's not.
The focal point is the minerality into the tannins. Right. Those things, you forget about anything that happened on that front palate once those kick in, because those two things outweigh everything on the front palate. And perhaps maybe that's why it isn't necessarily my favorite, because it is slightly out of balance in that fashion. That's okay, though.
You forget what the fruit is in this wine, because the length is so long that you suffer from amnesia.
I was going to say, to me, the shining star of this is the finish. I mean, it's 3 hours long.
It is.
So.
And surprisingly balanced drying for a French Côte de Rhone with that extremely long finish. And that's, I love this. What, got a pretty good mouthfeel. It's not as round and luscious as little, the reviews say.
It's a little disjointed.
I was just writing down that that was an area of improvement.
But it's a good mouthfeel. Yeah. It's fine. It's not a bad mouthfeel.
I would say that's one of the only things about this wine that makes you think that it's not a very expensive bottle.
Yeah, but not all French wines, Codron wherever, have this exquisite mouthfeel. You know, they can be lean. They can be this. It's a rounder mouthfeel. It's not, I wouldn't call it.
It's not silky. It's not satiny.
No. It's a wine. It's a bit disjointed.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, Scott, I have a question for you.
Yeah. Things Scott says. I'm just repeating.
When you,
I don't think it's disjointed.
I know it's not. I'm fucking with you.
I have a question.
I don't think it's disjointed.
Scott, when you had this wine before, you and Princess had it?
Yeah.
Were you eating or did you just have it to enjoy?
I'm trying to remember when we ate dinner that night.
It's like 2 days ago.
That's hard to do. I don't know if I can remember dinner 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
Can you?
2 nights ago?
Oh, Friday night, steak night. What did we have for dinner on Wednesday?
I don't know.
See, it's really hard.
Massive ass T-bones is what we had on Friday night.
We didn't eat it with food. We didn't eat when we had this wine.
Okay.
We had already eaten.
Chicken nuggets.
I had some cheese with it.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a meal with it.
I was just thinking that this wine has so much in it that that's how I would do it too. I wouldn't have this with a meal.
Well, one thing I agree with them on their website, they said braised beef, and I think that actually.
I would love that.
Yes. Herbaceous. I was thinking
about my beef stew.
Savory.
Oh, yeah.
Beef.
You're one with the peppers? That one?
Yep.
Something like that would be really nice. A wonderful beef bourguignon.
Yeah.
This, as the reduction for that, would be very good.
What did Deb think of it?
Yeah.
You know, she won't talk about...
She didn't like it.
...the different elements. She won't break it down.
Yeah.
She really liked it.
Yeah.
Mm.
She said that she knew it was better than the other Côte d'Aron we've been drinking, even though we both like that very much.
Is that Goats du Rhum?
No. Côte d'Aron.
No, you bought Goats du Rhum.
I've bought that before.
Yes, you bought that.
Wah, 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 wah.
You're strange. So, folks, we're going to take a break because, you know, we need to collect our thoughts. And then we'll be right back here on The Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love The Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about The Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, I have a funny question for the room. It's not funny. It's funny like...
Haha, or funny like ironic.
It's funny like Venice being funny. No. What is...
What
is the trashiest wine that you've drank that you actually liked?
Oh.
It takes Scott a lot longer to say all these.
Oh.
Because you drink this stuff.
Well,
we're going to start off with the triple
B. I'll throw some shit out.
We're going to start off with the triple B.
No.
Paying attention. She wants to answer this. She wants to get it done with.
I don't drink trashy wine.
I like my...
In your history. I don't mean currently. You can look back on it and say, oh, yes, that was trashy. And you have one. I know what you want me to say. A little on the trashy side.
I know what you want me to say.
You have a different one.
But I don't drink any trashy wine. And I don't believe Andre's trash.
So you drank Andre.
I love Andre. It's a special place in my heart.
It is a lot of trash.
Not the Brut, though.
Right.
Wasn't the Asti Spumante?
I like all Triple, of the
it's
flavors.
Okay. It's okay. All it's trashy. It's a little trashy. Just embrace it. It's okay.
Not trashy.
He's judging you. Let him judge you.
When
I've got one.
He's got more than one.
Anyways, when I think of Andre, it reminds me of a certain time in my life when my friends and I would always drink Andre.
Yeah.
And there is nothing trashy about those memories.
No.
No.
And the time I spent with my loved, very much loved friends.
You know,
so thank you for trying to shame me, but it's not going to work.
You know,
it's okay, but it's still trashy wine.
That's why he
you.
Asked that question.
You know, one time,
an asshole.
You know, one time, Scott, I sprayed myself with hairspray, and it was just like drinking Andre. Same difference. I've drank Andre, whatever it was that she liked.
Listeners,
it was pretty.
Please write in,
terrible.
Call in, and shame the wine guy. He's shaming Triple B. This was the whole point of the episode.
No, the whole point of this episode is to find out what you're going to say. I just thought of, oh yeah, Becky has one of those. Go ahead.
Absolutely, 100%. We used to buy Ménage à Trois, red blend, and
day.
Drink it.
Circa Day, July of 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You still do.
No.
You do.
No.
You do, man. You bought it. I know you do. You're the kind of guy that would do that. You just had that twinkle in your eye.
You're the kind of guy who...
Yeah.
Do you know that rap song?
No.
I'm the kind of guy.
No. I was... what was I listening to? QFM 96 this week? Was there a morning
show? I don't think that song's on QFM 96.
Oh, anyway.
So what's your trashy wine? Before we get too far away...
Recently?
That was harsh.
Or historically?
You tell us from
I've got a good one there. But mine, well, it's got to be the Hoaglade Harvest Riesling. We like that. It's a little trashy.
That's not trashy.
Oh, my God.
It's trashy. It's like, I'm just
You don't drink that.
Well, I did once.
It was on the show. That doesn't count.
Oh, you mean like consistently? I don't really have one.
Something you freaking...
Red Splash was all right. Does that count?
Dude.
I mean, I don't know.
He asked
when
that
I started
question
drinking.
To shame us, and I am not shameful.
No, you and Phil used to drink some awful stuff. You've admitted to it in the past. Pull it out.
Phil and I would drink...
Cheap port.
Cheap port. Well, we drank a late harvest Zinfandel by Ridge one time.
Oh, my gosh.
But cheap port? No, club and stuff like that. We used to drink Chateau Riella, which is about $20.
Every single listener
R.H. Bueller
is rolling their eyes at you.
I'm just trying to think of something. The best thing I had was Hogue. Mm-hmm.
I like my wine podcast a little douchey side.
I did drink, when I was
so
21,
so
I would
bougie.
Drink the Lindeman's Bin 65 Chardonnay.
There you go.
I had that twice or three times.
My God.
There you go. I didn't say I was, I just want to know what you guys said. No, on the air, on QFM 96, for some reason, the guy who was calling in, I don't know if he was a sports guy, whoever it was, and it was like one of their people they have on recently, or often, whatever. Anyway, he's like, they were talking about, yeah, I like wine. I'm a big wine person. He goes, you know what's really good? The Apothic. What's extra good? He goes, you know what's really good? They've got this wine called... Inferno. And he's being serious. They age it in bourbon barrels for 3 months. It makes it really rich and bold, and I like that. Oh, I gotta try that. I gotta write that down. Inferno, you say? It's a little hard to find.
Oh my God.
It's like, where are you looking? Because I was at the gas station and I saw it there. What the fuck? It's like, where is he? You know? I only shop at my church. It's a little hard to find there. It's my church gift shop. You know, I can't find it. Where the fuck would you... Why can't you find Apothic? Why can't you find Ménage à Trois?
Because you can't spell.
Well, see, when I was...
Ménage à Trois is probably harder to find than Apothic.
Well, see, this is the thing. I started in wine when I was 20. So when I was 21, I was working in wine. So I was already like indoctrinated into bad and good. And there was very little. The trashiest thing that existed when I was doing that was White Zinfandel. And I was,
that's what I was going to say.
And I was taught originally, that's bad, don't drink that.
That is probably the trashiest wine that I drank regularly. So when my first wife, when I was courting her, I thought I was really cool by bringing White Zinfandel over to her house.
Oh, really?
And then we kept drinking it. And the truth is, when White Zinfandel first came out, it wasn't this sugary thing. It was truly, it was a, at a minimum, it was a semi-dry thing.
There were a few of them that were somewhat, that had some structure, a vintage, was one of them.
But,
had
yeah,
a little bit of structure vintage, and a right. little bit of, yeah.
But, yeah. And, you know, we kept drinking it because, well, that's what we drank when we thought we were being cool and turning on Barry White. Mm-hmm. But.
Yeah. So I never had that period where I was always, it was regimen.
Bougie?
Well, not bougie, just I was told what to do early on, so that's what I did. And menage a trois didn't exist. Although, no. It came out later in the time, and we would make fun of it because it was like, we didn't know if it was good or bad, we didn't drink it. But it was a sex position wine. And we're like, oh, yeah, menage
a
trois.
It's not a sex position.
Well, whatever. You know what I mean. So, when it came out, we're like, oh, look at that. Menage a trois. Ooh. And it was a big joke. I don't think it was terrible, though. I never tried it then, I don't believe. But the people that had said it was mostly Zin based and it was fine. It has progressed into what it is today.
Yeah, it's probably Purple Death now, I'd assume.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, back then it wasn't huge.
We were in Toledo, so that was 2008. Was the first time I had that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I mean, you do like your Asti Spumantes and stuff like that, but
I never
was into those either. Never enjoyed them when I drank them on any occasion. And normally it's because you're at a wedding or whatnot, and that's all they had. And I've never been down with them. Once again, hairspray. I'd rather drink Andre, whatever that
oh,
stuff
yeah.
was.
You know,
drink.
And
I'm not being serious.
Rob was critiquing your choice of Andre, but if you're going to drink cheap pseudo champagnes,
it should be sweet.
Andre's not a bad choice.
Yeah, don't try to drink the dry stuff. Although we have a bottle of their extra dry
that we're ready to go for.
Well, it's supposed to be Brut. That's okay.
I brought the Brut.
No, you bought the extra dry because you didn't. You forgot.
I went back and I bought the Brut and brought it.
No, we just have extra dry in there.
Then I've got it in the house to bring.
Oh, great.
We could do an Andre tasting panel.
We could with Dark Horse Bubbles,
which is our favorite.
We
Andre.
Will.
Well,
we
no,
will.
We do. That's in the queue.
No, yeah. But you want to compare it to that can.
Yeah.
But I'm saying an Andre only tasting
panel. That's hard.
I think that would do very well.
I think our brains the next day would not do very well.
It's as long as Cold Duck is in that group.
I think they have a peach and a strawberry.
I am not drinking peach sparkling wine.
Well,
the girl's got to have standards.
You drank that, what was that, whatever the fuck, that McNabb's Rosé that nobody's ever heard of? You brought that.
It wasn't that bad.
It was the kitchen sink white.
It wasn't that bad.
The kitchen sink white was atrocious.
Oh, the kitchen sink white?
Yeah. It tasted like acetone. And
kitchen sink white was one of the worst. The McNabb wasn't that bad.
It was pretty bad.
It wasn't as bad as we thought it would be. We said that.
I thought it would be bad.
Did that air?
No.
No.
Why would
it? That's unfortunate. Why not?
I know. Well, later tonight we're going to be, we've previously, that hasn't aired yet, but it's going to be a Wednesday episode. We're exploring, in the second episode, base level California Cabernets.
What's wrong with that?
Why do they exist?
Why do they exist?
We couldn't answer that with the first version. We have a series. We've done Liberty School, which was repulsive. Chateau Saint-Jean's California Cabernet,
yeah,
which was terrible.
Ooh.
Tonight is William Hill, North Coast.
You can now buy Andre in a can.
I'm sure
they
you
have the Brut can, the Brut Rosé can, the Extra Dry, the Cold Duck, the Spumante, the Moscato, the Peach, the Strawberry, the Pink Moscato, and the Blush.
What's the Blush? How's that different than that? Why?
You know, I think that we should probably buy them both and do a head-to-head.
That was like 20 choices.
Well, you buy it all, Scott.
The blush and the rosé.
Just trying to figure out what the difference is?
And probably the strawberry, because that's also the same thing.
Didn't say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Rob's trying to shame me, but I'll tell you, I have nothing but the very, very best memories of Andre in my life.
That's because of the time you spent, not because of what it tasted.
Nothing but the happiest of memories. And I have not had it in a very, very long time, but I'm sure I would love it every bit as much.
When I was in high school, people drank Strawberry Hill. I didn't do that, but people did that.
Mm.
I'm sure they had great memories of that, what they can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. He was trying to shame you. You're right.
He was.
You're absolutely right. But your memories are fine. It's still.
Do there you is still, Jakey White? Scott, do you still remember of. When 30 was old?
What?
When the, who? My biggest fear was
September when he had to go. Like strawberry wine, 17. Okay. The hot July moon, folks.
What?
I'm ready to review.
We will, as soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the Cité des or Day Dauphines Reserve Côte d'Or. Oh, my God. What? You don't like it?
Cité des Dauphines.
Cité Dauphine, yes, yes. You're a fiend. Cité des Dauphines. Yes. You didn't like how I put the little S on there, did you?
Dauphine.
Dauphines.
Dauphine.
Dauphines.
It's not a professional football team from Miami.
I know.
Well, they're semi-professional.
I know. I do that for your benefit. Now, go ahead.
Did you know that they traded Raekwon McMillan?
Yes. Yeah. Did you know that Haskell Garrett got shot in the face?
Face?
Cheeks. Whatever that means. I think he got shot in the face and it went through his. Yes. He's a defensive tackle for Ohio State.
Was a defensive tackle for Ohio State.
Well, he's a senior. He's on the team still. When they play in November.
When you get shot in the face, you're probably not playing football again.
I don't know. We'll see. So, we're going to go over to the Triple B.
What was the football player that he was like out at a bar and he shot himself in the leg?
Plaxico Burress.
Yes, Burress.
Who did he play for?
Michigan State.
In professional.
New York Giants.
Oh, I was going to say Jets, but yeah.
When he shot himself
in the thigh,
he was a professional football player for the New York Giants.
Wasn't he wearing sweatpants in a club?
I think so.
That's it.
I think so.
And he stuck his gun in his sweatpants. Yeah. So the Triple B.
Yeah. So I'm ready to review. So I wrote down some things that I like about it and then areas of improvement. Mm. So we talked about a little bit the mouthfeel. Like areas. That.
I love that.
You know.
The arrogance? Is that what you said?
No, I love
that. Well, you know, there is a line there.
The areas of improvement. I love it. You know why? Because it pisses him off.
He's I love it because it's very Russian judge-ish. Yep. I love that you're embracing your role in the
He
show
wants
as a
this
judge.
Wine to get 1,000 points.
No, I don't. No, absolutely not.
You do your thing. I love
absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
I'm very happy.
I do not have
areas of improvement.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott, stand up so we can circle your faults with a magic marker.
That would take some time.
That's true. You
know, so, like really I impressive said, magic marker. Some things that I really like about it. The nose is fantastic. Mm. I really, really love the nose. Mm. You both hmmed, but it was great. It is a textbook dark berry nose, and I love that in a nose. Stop. Both of you, stop. I think it's really good. The green olive was a really nice surprise for me. Shut up. I'm a big fan.
Of the green olive?
Yeah. I think it's a nice departure from black olive, and personally, I prefer green olives over black. Well, so that was a very nice thing. The light oaking, I'm also a fan of, as you all, I'm sure, guessed. The chalkiness, I put it as a pro and a con because I like it, but it is a little bit overpowering to me. A couple of times I felt like I needed to take a drink of water from it. And so that's an area of improvement. The other area of improvement would be the mouthfeel. I would agree with Rob that this is not my preference in wine. I appreciate it, though. I would recommend it if this is your... I think Scott's dying.
I want can hope.
So it's not my preference.
Bo, come give him mouth to mouth.
He's so worried about you. Oh, poor Bo. So not my preference. I can appreciate it. And I'm giving it an 89.
An 89. Perestroika, perestroika. I don't know, though. That's not that bad.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to sing that song. I'm not even quite sure. I haven't scored it yet.
I'm sorry. I love your new category of various improvement.
She's done that before.
No, and it totally fits in with what her role is.
What she means by that is... No, I'm just not.
Becky, smack him.
I want to smack both of you.
Why are you smacking me?
Don't you listen to the Daily? The host on that says he makes those stupid fucking noises so they know he's still there. It's like, nobody gives a shit if you're fucking there.
His noises don't bother me. I know that they stress people out, but I love Mark.
So that's why I did that.
Well, you're not him.
Well, that's right. He's following us a little bit in the ratings. So.
Sure.
Go ahead, Scott. You gonna?
No,
I will say when Scott, as he's coughing up a lung, Bo ran right over to him. Yep. Bo was so concerned.
Bo, dig his
only
hole
after
for
you
him.
Said, "Give him mouth to mouth resuscitation."
That's right.
He's worried about you.
He loves me.
So sweet.
I love him. I'm between. This starts with a 9 for me. 90. I love the length of the finish. That is superior. And it's so skillfully done. Plainly, this is a wine. I'm going to stop short of saying it's manipulated, but it is plainly done for... It's marketed for us, for Americans. And I'm fine with that because it's really well done.
But Scott, other than it saying Grenache and Syrah on the label, which is a different sticker, what makes you think it's done from Americans?
It's the blend.
Well,
the blend from the five different regions. I'll bet this isn't sold domestically.
But Scott, that's what all standard non-Vallage Codrons do.
Understood, but I'll bet this isn't marketed domestically.
I'm sure it is because it did get gold medals in different French competitions.
What French competitions?
It's on their list right there. It's on their website. They talked about
this wine or the other wines?
This wine. It got like 3 different gold medals from things I can't pronounce. So, I mean, well, obviously.
That differentiates nothing.
But nevertheless, it is sold in France. Now, whether or not the French buy it is another question, but, you know. Apparently, this has been around for quite some time.
Really?
We just didn't know about,
well, we're dumb.
Well, I mean, nobody told us. We weren't in.
Jeff did.
Greg
did.
Greg did, yes. Ting. Yeah, Greg.
Ting.
Yes.
No, the finish on this is worth the price of admission. You can, for a $13 wine or Gary V sells it for $10.99.
Illegally. Sells it out of the back of his car. I am Gary Wojcik. I sell it to you in the parking lot.
and charges $9 for shipping and handling. Well, you handed it to me in the parking lot. It's $9 for shipping and handling.
That's right.
The fruit, I think, is not amazing, but I love the berry to savory fruit to then there's that dried cherry, pseudo Bing cherry thing, minerality, that green olive, although I wish it had a hint of blue cheese. But the finish, the subtle oaking, the soft tannins. The mouth feels fine.
Soft tannins? I haven't been listening to you for the last 15 minutes, but soft tannins?
Yes.
Go ahead.
They're big tannins?
I'll go back to
sleep.
They're
burly tannins?
They're burly tannins. They're not soft. I did not hear anything else you said, but I blacked out. But everybody else did too, or they hit the 15-second skip.
They're soft tannins. I think they're wonderful.
They're not soft
tannins. They're soft tannins.
They're not soft.
Well, what is
your it's words? On Becky's areas of improvement. Anyway, moving on to me.
90.
Okay, I am also provided at 90 of my points. I will go 88 to 90. So naturally, I'm going to encompass Becky's 89. I am going to put it on the Hall of Fame, but bottom level.
What did you score it?
90.
This isn't a 90.
You gave it an 89. There's not.
I actually gave it an 88 and marked it out and put down 89. It's
which
not
is
a 90.
An 89.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. It's a 90, even though stylistically, it's not my thing. Would I buy it again? No, but I think people should buy it and try it, and I think it's very good. If it appeals to you, if the way the fruit is structured. Something you like, you're going to love the hell out of this wine.
Yeah.
This is also such a good palate expanding wine.
It always
this
is.
This is such an educational wine. Mm-hmm. Really, really, really well done.
And dirt cheap.
Yep.
All things considered.
Yep.
And by the way, the gold medals, I was wrong. It's the 19 vintage got those gold medals. So this just got a 97 from the decanter because they had a promotional.
Article.
The decanter staff.
Yeah. But it's somewhere between 88 to 90, I think, is a fair range for this. There you go.
It's a hack wine. But it's a really good hack wine.
Low-level Hall of Fame, simply because, hey, the price puts their 290s. 290s
so
get you in a Hall of Fame.
So shouldn't it be
No.
Well, I think it's...
You two nuts cannot tell
that's harsh.
Me. That this belongs. Look at the top row of things that belong.
No. Down there by Mason. See in the darkness? It goes in the darkness.
You tell me that this belongs in the Hall of Fame with Numanthia.
No.
You tell me that this belongs
is up there. This
in
the
Hall of
the
Fame
dirt.
With Mary Edwards.
No.
What else is up there?
This,
Heights? That's... You are going to put this in the Hall of Fame with Heights?
It's
you
down there.
Via Aston
down there.
So
yeah, Antinori.
I would put this
Flavium.
As a top row value.
Cambria. Domain Vaca.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Dry Creek.
No.
Sauv Blanc.
This, no.
Yeah. Sure.
It does not belong with Dry Creek. No.
Sauvignon Blanc.
No.
Yeah. Fumé Blanc. Sure.
Catena Malbec. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. No, Artisan Zin. I don't remember what that tastes like. Yeah.
This is better. I would never buy that again. I'd buy this again.
Yeah.
This is worth it.
Rancho Sambaco?
I ordered that this week.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get locally. So I
it
just
is.
Ordered one. The finish on this, the nose, as you said, Becky, it's freaking textbook. It's huge. It's a big nose. It's not my favorite nose, but it's so big and it has so many different things. It's freaking fantastic. The mouthfeel, okay, it's not great, but it doesn't have three parts. It's got five parts. It's so long.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit is so good, and you can pick so many different things out. What, it's got nine different things going on?
Yep.
It's $13.
And I will...
It is.
It's not...
I agree with all your points, and that's why it belongs in the vow.
Unfortunately, point of order, first of all, had you downscored
point of Russian order or point
to
of
an 86 like you did the Klein, you would have kept it out, but you did not. You gave it an 89, which puts it in.
Oh, now you're encouraging Ironakis behavior.
It's just the way it is. So, ergo.
What, do you want her to join the Boogaloo Boys?
The what?
The Boogaloo Boys, the anarchists.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but don't ever say that again.
You know who the Boogaloo Boys are? They're the anarchists.
No, nobody knows who that is, and please don't say it again.
Yes, they do.
It terrifies me.
They know.
You're not allowed to say boogaloo ever again. That's a word. I'm making a list. Words Scott's never ever allowed to say again.
It's not a boy's phrase.
Boogaloo, you're never allowed to say that again.
Boogaloo boys.
It's don't say it. Don't say it. Don't ever say boogaloo. I don't give a shit what you say.
All right, let's wrap
you
it
can't,
up.
You can't say, I want to go boogaloo. You can't say that.
I ever. Didn't say that.
You're not going to say it anymore. It's just terrifying.
Saying you're encouraging anarchic behavior. Never mind.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Learn how to speak. So, folks.
Anarchist behavior.
There you go. Just a little bit of time. Two 90s and 89. I think a strong 89. A Hall of Fame for the...
Becky, please speak up.
Serie de Dauphins reserve Cote d'Iron. A surpriser. Not 97, though.
No.
No. No, no, no.
Not a Hall of Fame.
Too bad. There's only one person that makes the decision. That's me.
It's a mutual decision. It's a group decision.
I'm Is home it? 45 hours a day. I can come down and take it out of the Hall of Fame if I want to.
Not if I hide.
Not in our hearts.
No. That's right. That's right. And why do you care if it's on the bottom shelf? You can't see it. Mason's down there. I think he got the same scores. So, yeah, whatever.
Mason was pretty good.
It was pretty good. He got a 91, though, I think, too.
Mason was... So I ordered it again. I ordered a Mason.
Good. Good for you.
I like it.
Good.
Luck a lot.
So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, the Comrade, we're going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.